Imagine a world where transformation isn't reserved for professionals with degrees, but available to anyone willing to be used by God. This is the radical vision of Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. At its core, this book challenges our fundamental understanding of how change happens in human lives. While our culture chases after self-improvement techniques and quick psychological fixes, true transformation follows a different path entirely. The most profound insight? God deliberately uses ordinary, flawed people as His primary tools for changing other ordinary, flawed people. This isn't a backup plan. It's His intentional design. The gospel narrative reveals that our deepest problems aren't merely informational, experiential, or biological. They're spiritual. Our core struggle is sin, which warps everything we think, say, and do. This condition produces three devastating effects: rebellion against God's authority, foolishness that distorts our perspective, and inability to consistently do what's right even when we want to. The good news isn't freedom from hardship, but the arrival of a Redeemer who rescues us from ourselves, turning rebels into disciples, fools into humble listeners, and making the spiritually crippled walk again. Think about your last strong reaction, perhaps snapping at your spouse or feeling anxious about work. While we typically blame external factors, "You made me so angry," Jesus points to a different source, our hearts. The Bible's concept of the heart isn't about romance or emotion. It's the command center of who you are, encompassing your thoughts, desires, will, and emotions. Like a tree producing fruit from its roots, our behavior flows naturally from our hearts. External pressure might temporarily modify behavior, but when that pressure disappears, old patterns return, like stapling shiny apples onto a diseased tree. What rules your heart exercises inescapable influence over your life. If comfort rules, you'll organize your life around avoiding discomfort. If approval rules, you'll make decisions based on others' opinions. These ruling desires function as idols of the heart, not stone statues, but anything commanding our ultimate allegiance. We are worshipers by design, always serving either God or some aspect of creation. Our daily choices reveal what truly rules us. Why do we struggle with the same issues repeatedly? Why do relationships break down over seemingly trivial matters? James provides insight. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Our conflicts reveal a deeper war happening inside our hearts. Most of us blame external factors for our anger, other people, circumstances, traffic, but James challenges us to look within. Our hearts, not our circumstances, determine our responses. This explains why the same situation produces different reactions in different people. These desires progress through dangerous stages. Desire becomes demand. I must have this. Then need. I can't live without this. Which produces expectation. You should help me get this. When expectations aren't met, disappointment follows. You didn't. Leading to punishment, because you didn't, I will. The solution begins not horizontally, but vertically. Humble yourselves before God. If human conflict stems from spiritual adultery, change must start by repenting of the idols that have replaced God in our hearts. Jesus provides the perfect model for effective personal ministry. When the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, God established a pattern for all ministry. The Incarnation serves as both historical event and ongoing calling that shapes how we help others. Christ perfectly embodied the marriage of grace and truth. He maintained God's standards while offering hope to the broken. Effective ministry must hold these tensions. Speaking truth with grace, confronting sin while providing hope, and challenging wrong thinking with compassion. As Christ's ambassadors, we represent not ourselves but the King who sent us. This transforms our interactions from "What do I want to say?" to "What does the King want to communicate?" We represent his character and methods, freeing us from self-focused mini-kingdoms to participate in God's grand redemptive work. The church isn't a theological classroom, but a messy conversion and sanctification center where flawed people trust Christ and learn to love others. Without love, even sound theology becomes ineffective. God's love isn't superficial sentiment, but an effective force that faces who we are, how we need to change, and goes to work. To enter someone's world effectively, we must recognize the entry gates God provides, not the presenting problems, but the person's experience of those situations. When we're merely problem-focused, we become like carnival shooters targeting plastic ducks with Bible verses without engaging the person. Instead, we should listen for what has the person in its grip, their particular struggle within their situation. As Christ ambassadors, we must not only speak truth, but be living illustrations of it. We demonstrate Christ's power through our character, showing compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This incarnation of Christ protects us from responding sinfully when wronged, offers examples of godly qualities, and provides evidence that God's commands are possible through His power. Meaningful personal ministry follows a four-part process mirroring God's work. Love establishes the relationship where change occurs. Know uncovers the person's heart beneath surface facts. Speak brings God's truth to what they cannot see. And do helps apply insights to daily life. Knowing requires entering someone's world with compassionate curiosity, not interrogation. This reveals heart themes, patterns of interpretation, desire, and worship that shape their responses to life. Identifying these themes addresses root issues rather than merely treating symptoms. Speaking God's truth effectively means connecting Scripture to these heart themes. The Bible is a coherent narrative about God's redemptive work, not isolated verses. When we help others see how their personal stories fit within God's larger story, this perspective shift becomes transformative, giving meaning to struggles within God's redemptive purposes. Knowledge without application produces little change. The final element of personal ministry involves helping people live differently in light of God's truth. This isn't behavior modification, but heart transformation that naturally produces new actions. We help others identify concrete steps of faith and repentance, creating accountability structures that support lasting change. The ultimate goal isn't dependency on us, but connection to Christ and His body. Effective ministry always points beyond the human instrument to the divine Redeemer. As people experience God's transforming grace, they become instruments themselves, passing along to others what they've received. In a world of broken relationships, God calls each of us to be His instruments of change. This isn't a burden, but a privilege, participating in the most important work on earth. By focusing on heart transformation rather than external conformity, we join God in His redemptive mission of restoring people to Himself and each other. The question isn't whether you're qualified, but whether you're available to be used by the master craftsman who makes beautiful things from broken pieces.